Welcome to the Speak Life broadcast, brought to you by the congregation at New Life Community United Holy Church, located in Pie Corner, St. Lucie, in Barbados, where the senior pastor is Elder Rico Griffith. We invite you to join us for the next few moments as we share with you from the Word of God. Today's speaker is Pastor Rico Griffith.
Chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Hallelujah. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Praise the name of the Lord. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Verse 5 told us, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And the Bible tells us, I love these beginning words, and it came to pass, my God, that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the Bible tells me after the full stop, that and the oil stayed. Verse 7 goes on to tell me that then she came and she told the man of God, and he said, Go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Somebody give God praise in the name of the Lord. The Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us this morning. Anoint these lips of clay so that I may say only what you would have me to say. Open the hearts of your people, both present physically and locked on via the World Wide Web. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Let the church say amen. Speak to you on the topic, it's a new season. Praise the name of the Lord. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you just didn't know what to do? Maybe you had a big decision to make. Maybe you were faced with a crisis. Maybe you may have a child or a grandchild or a sibling or somebody, a relative, have gone astray or gone in a different direction to what you agree with. Maybe you did something that you should not have done. And not only do you not know what to do or how you got into this mess, but you don't know how to get out of it either. Well, James Dobson tells the true story of a little toddler named Frankie. He was a handful, to say the least, it was said, that one day he pulled the chair over to the front window of his house and carefully placed himself within the drapes. He was standing there staring out at the world. And the story goes on to say that when his mother came looking for him, she spied his little legs protruding beneath the drapes. And quietly she slipped in behind him to see what he was doing. And she got there. When she got there, she heard him saying to himself, "I've got to get out of here." Do you ever feel trapped? Have you ever felt like you were at the end of your rope? What do you do when you reach that point this morning? The realist would say, just tie a knot and hang on. The pessimist would say, you might as well let go. It's only going to get worse. But the optimist might say, just tie another knot and keep on climbing. Some are in that very place today. You are at the end of your rope and there is a long drop beneath you. And you do not know what to do. Praise the name of the Lord. You do not know what to do. What do you do this morning, church, when you are in that position? What do you do when you are in that position when you do not know what to do and you feel as though you are trapped? The Bible tells us in verse 1, amen, they cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha. And she said, thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that, and that my servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be born men. This woman came to the man of God at the lowest point of her life. She is in desperate straits. To a widow in the ancient world was to be in a vulnerable predicament. We discover in the text that we have just read that this woman, she was caught in a net of life's contradictions. She is in the midst of a crisis and is coming face to face with the challenge and the contradictions of circumstantial hardship and crisis in her time. She had lost her husband. She had lost her money. And now she's in danger of losing her children as well. Are you with me this morning? She was in a bad place. For those of you who are mothers, perhaps you can identify with the gravity of her situation. Because nearly every mother, and I speak of mother because we are talking about a woman, nearly every mother would do everything that she could to protect their children. Nearly every mother will do all she can to keep her family together. This poor woman who was at the end of her rope, she cried to the man of God. And one of the things that I want us to understand, the Bible said that this poor woman cried. This poor woman cried. And the word of God tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, in the natural at this point, this woman did not know what to do. And thus we read that she turned to the Lord. She turned to the Lord by going to the man of God. For her, it was a dangerous time. For her, it was an uncertain time of scarcity. And back in the day, as it were, if a woman's husband had died, it often left a death sentence for the widow because her means of income had dried up. Her means of sustenance were dried up with her husband's death. And struggling through the loss of her husband also meant struggling through the loss in every cruel way. Now, the woman in this story was not only in danger of losing her income because her husband had died, but she was in a place where she was losing her hope as well. And in order to survive, her two living sons, her only future, her only means of income, would have to be sold into slavery to repay for her family's debt. Not only did she have nothing, but she had nothing less than nothing this morning. She had two sons. Her husband was dead. She hadn't much. At this point, she would have been grieving and mourning. And the little two sons that she had were about to be taken away. And there will come times in life, church, this morning when you feel as though you have nothing. When you might be in this same place right now. You might meet that time tomorrow. You may meet that time years down the road. You might be in that place right now, and it is never easy. But even just to acknowledge it is quite painful as well. And it's often a season for discovery and miracles when we are going through these times alone. If we breathe, we have something very precious. And that something is called life this morning. And when we discover something, oh my God, when we discover that we have life, there is hope when there is life. Once there is life, there is hope. Praise the name of the Lord. And so this morning, when we discover that we are in this place, I want you to know this morning that there is something in our nothingness. We can have faith with God to make something out of our nothing. As we look at verse 2, the man of God said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house of value?" And she said, "Your handmaid has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." You see, Elisha did something very important here. He took responsibility that empowered the woman to also take responsibility. I said Elisha took responsibility that empowered the woman to also take responsibility. And he asked her two questions. The first has to do with his responsibility, and the second with her responsibility. He asks her what she wants him to do. And then he asks her, what does she have in her house? Praise the name of the Lord. What does she have in her house? Now, beloved, this morning I want to tell us, if we really want to help people, we have to take responsibility for some things and refuse to take responsibility for other things, so that persons may be empowered. I want to repeat that again. When we want to help people in life, there are some things that we must take responsibility for, but there are other things that we must not take responsibility for, because that ought to drive persons to be empowered to help as well themselves. Too many people just ask the first question or the second. In other words, too many people ask, "What can I do for you?" Amen. But if we look back at verse 1, the verb to cry out here literally means to appeal for help. Now, this woman of God was crying out to the prophet Elisha, and she was crying out as an appeal for help. To cry out is to say, "God, I need you to come to my rescue. God, I need you to come to my aid." And in coming to Elisha, she is in effect seeking out God through Elisha. We know that her husband revered God. He was a husband in ministry. She said, "He was thy servant. My husband is dead." Amen. She was one of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. Her husband was in ministry. She came from a good family. They had done everything right, maybe. And all to this point, you know, it seems like everything is going wrong. And she's crying out to God. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Is this the first or last person in scripture crying out to God for help? Who makes an appeal for divine help? Of course not. But I see the prophet Isaiah in the midst of a divided kingdom when Israel was separate from Judah. I see the prophet in the midst of a crisis crying out in Isaiah 64, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Come down to make known your name among them, in your enemies." He's desperate for God to intervene. I see a man, blind Bartimaeus, who we meet in Mark's gospel, sitting by the side of the road. And when he hears that Jesus has come to town, do you know what he says when Jesus passed by? He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Doesn't that sound like an appeal to you? This woman is part of a long line of people who recognize that God is the source of her help, who recognize that God is the source of our help, and to cry out to God is the norm in scripture and not the exception. But in this life, we run to all kinds of things other than God, or we run to all kinds of things other than the man of God whom we should submit under. We run to advice columns. We run to our phone. We run to social media. Some run for the bottle. Some run for spliff. We run to distractions. And in doing so, we act actually cut ourselves off from God himself. And the problem is that we don't look to God as our first resort, but we look to him as our last resort. But church, this morning I want to tell you that in this new season that we are in as a church, in this new season, it is not only related to the ministry as a church, but it is linked to your life. It is linked to the direction of your life as an individual. A new season is not related to a building, but we as a people make up this church, and therefore the new season is related to the people who make up the church. I want us to start off on this first Sunday after a spiritual shift in this new season with three lessons that I need you to take serious note of this morning, because these lessons will help you to advance and grow in this new season. Praise the name of the Lord. I said I want you to take note of it. So I want you to take note in your phone, take note in your iPad, take note on your notepad, whatever you need to take note of, because it is important as we go through. The first lesson I want us to understand is that in order for God to make something out of nothing, we have to evaluate our current circumstance. I said, for God to make something out of nothing, we have to evaluate our current circumstance. This woman was instructed by Elisha's question to go and take stock of her nothingness. It is easy and it comes naturally to take stock when we have abundance. It is easy when you have a wardrobe full of clothes to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It is easy when you have a pantry full of groceries to go through and say, what I can cook today, and pick up a mackerel or a salmon or a sardine or a tuna. It is easy, but it hurts when you don't have anything and you know you don't have anything and you still go looking. Are you with me this morning? And so this woman said she had nothing save a pot of oil, but yet the man of God said, go and take stock of your nothingness. Go and take stock of your nothingness. This is things that we avoid and we postpone because we do not like to be reminded of what we do not have. When we know that we have no money on the bank, we don't like to check the ATM because it hurts our heart to see that there are so many zeros in front behind. But we want to see zeros in front, the number, and not behind. It makes you feel good when you got zeros in front, Brother Peter, because you go and you pump, 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 pump. But when you know that there are not many zeros in front, you pump, 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 and you look back behind you to see who is next in line. You don't want them to see. But in God's kingdom, it is empowering when we do, because in taking stock of our nothingness, we discover that there are some things that we have that we can utilize. Even if it may seem too little, it can be useful. Praise the name of the Lord. And what this story teaches us is that we have to use what we have. It can empower us to, and push us into the next level of thinking, understanding, and a new level of growth. Somebody hear me on this morning, one song where they say, little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There is a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you for allowing us into your space today. It is our prayer that your life has been touched and impacted in a positive way as you took the time to be engaged with us. To learn more about our ministry, you may visit our YouTube channel or our social media pages on Instagram or Facebook. Simply search, We Are New Life CC, all one word. If you do not have a church family to call your own, you can feel free to worship with us any Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. We are located in Pike Corner, St. Lucie, at the corner of Little Bay and Cove Bay. New Life Community United Holy Church is the place for you, fostering community one family at a time. We look forward to welcoming you.